I think it would blow our minds if we could peek into the mind of a mom. They wake up with the calendar going in their head of where they have to be, what they have to do, what they have to buy, what they have to thaw for dinner to happen that day, what they have to put in the kids' lunchbox, what they have to do shopping that afternoon, what they have to order for events, parties, homework assignments, and projects that the kids never told them that was coming up, and sporting events, and all the other things. It never stops. It never stops. I know that a lot of us struggle with the idea of just how do I prioritize? Because sometimes you go to bed at night and you're thinking, I didn't get it all done. Moms, do you ever feel that way? I didn't get it all done. And even though you ran morning till night, it's not like you slept in. It's not like you were lazy. It's not like you just sat on the couch all day. But you just have this feeling like, I didn't work hard enough. I didn't work long enough. There's still things to get done. We feel inadequate. Isn't it crazy how you can put so much effort into life and still be constantly running behind? Isn't it weird how we can have so much communication through cell phones to where we can either snap people, we've got text messages, we've got instant messaging, we've got Facebook, but we still don't have enough communication in life. We have calendars on our phone that remind us of everything that's going on, even can pop up on our watch, but we still don't get everything done. We've got the ability to order groceries and have them delivered to our front door, but we still don't have everything we need. It is this constant state that I'm running behind and I can't get caught up. Let me ask you guys a question. Let me put it like this. When we struggle with priorities, we struggle with the idea of what do I say no to and what do I say yes to? Because a lot of things are needful to get done. There's a lot of priorities that we need to get done. But let me throw out a scenario. Let's say you had to pick up a prescription from the pharmacy. You had to go grocery shopping. You have to pick up the kids from school. But you also have to stop and get gas because the light is on. Out of those four things, what is the top priority? Getting gas. Why would you say getting gas is the top? Because your kids are your kids not important? You say, well, gas, because if I don't stop and get what I need to keep going, I'll run out of gas and end up on the side of the road and can't get to where I need to be. And it's amazing how we'll shift things around like, oh, I can make it. I know my car and I'll push a little further. Then you end up on the side of the road. And what would have taken 8 minutes to stop and get gas now is 2 hours of waiting for somebody to come rescue you on the side of the road. And let me just ask you, as you're sitting on the side of the road, how do you feel? You're not like, oh, this is such a relaxing time to kind of like, I get to spend time with you, Jesus. You know, like, it's not like you're in that state of mind. You're sitting there going, man, now I'm even more behind and I didn't have time for this. And now I don't even know if I'm going to make it to get the groceries and if they're going to close before I get there. And it adds stress and anxiety on top of your already busy day. Why? Because we got our priorities out of order. I want you to take your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. And I want to address a situation that Jesus felt like was needful for them to understand. Jesus is teaching them so many things. He had these friends called Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he was really close to them. I know that Jesus had lots of people that he was close to, and that we don't always have the stories of who they are. But we know in the Bible we have stories of people in the Bible that Jesus went out of his way to connect with. Jesus had friends. It was okay for Jesus to have friends. He was close to the disciples. He was close to this inner circle of people. And leading up to this dinner that he's going to have at Martha's house, Jesus was teaching. And I want you to capture some of the teachings that he's explaining here. So let me start in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. He said, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now, I want you guys to understand that he's saying there's work to be done, and the way that they get the work done is people have to labor. They have to work. Work has to get done. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to get the calluses. Somebody has to walk the streets, knock the doors, put out the materials, preach the word of God, prep the things. He said it takes work. It takes effort. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that we would send forth laborers into the harvest. We see this in action. Look at verse 33. Story of the Good Samaritan. And we know Jesus is teaching this. He's talking about laboring. He's talking about giving of yourself. He's talking about investing. Notice what he says. And there was a certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, came there where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion on him. And he went unto him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring oil on him and wine, and he set him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. What do we learn from that? He's like, okay, in life, okay, you're going to run across situations. That's going to take effort. And Jesus said, let me tell you about a guy that was a good Samaritan. He's going about his business. He's taking care of the work of God. He stops, he sees somebody. And in his mind, he's probably thinking, I don't have time for this. But he knelt down, bounded up his wounds, picks him up, puts him on his own beast. You know what that means? He's walking now because he's letting this other guy have this ride. He brings him in the town. He sacrifices of himself so that this guy could be taken care of. Is God against work? No. Is God against labor and sacrifice and going the extra mile? Not at all. I want you to keep that in mind as we get into this. Jesus finishes this teaching that he has, and then he makes it to Martha's house. Now, I don't know how this was lined up, but something happened where Martha was asked to host a dinner for Jesus. Now, I don't know about you guys. How would you get ready for your house if you knew Jesus was coming over? All right, I've learned something from my wife, okay? I'm just going to tell on my wife right now. I will tell her. And my wife is clean all the time. I don't care. Anytime that you stop by, there might be something in the sink or something, you know, like laying on the couch or whatever, but our house is clean all the time. That's the way my wife was raised. That's the way she keeps her house. Our house is clean, except when my kids get involved in it. But outside of that, our house is clean. And I can tell my wife, she'll be like, I've got to clean the house because we have somebody coming over, parents coming over. And I go to her and I say, babe, the house is clean. She'd be like, you don't understand. It might be clean to you, but it's not clean to me. It's not company clean. Is there a difference? Does anybody know what I'm talking about, you women out there? It's like, so I'm like, I can help. And she gives me that look, and she's like, you don't understand how to do company clean. I don't know what that is, but somehow I don't get it. You can imagine as Martha is getting ready for Jesus to come to the house. And it's different when it's Jesus. Okay, if it's you getting ready for somebody to come over, you can hide the laundry in the laundry room and shut the door. But Jesus knows where you hide the laundry. You can't just lock doors because if he knows your heart, he knows where the laundry is. So this is a big deal. Having guests, and the guest being Jesus. It says in verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha is the host. Can I acknowledge something right now? There is a difference when you are in charge of something that you carry the weight in a way that nobody else does. For moms, when your husband comes up to you and the kids have to have the homework done, and they have a project, and they have to make good on it because their grade is struggling in that one class, and they have to go shopping, and they need certain things, and there's a birthday coming up, and your husband, with all of his wisdom, comes in and says, babe, it will all work out. And you're thinking, just saying those words doesn't make it all work out. There's a weight that you carry. I remember with us, when we have the youth rallies and the dramas and the productions and things that we do, and we have the weight of it, of we have to build this set and get the costumes and get the tracks together and all these different things that we have to line up. And people will come in and just stand there and say, Pastor, I don't know why you're stressing about this. It always comes together. I'm like, yeah, we just throw out pixie dust and we come in the next day and it's all just there. You don't have to worry about it. It all just happens. Is that the way it happens, moms? Not at all. No, because mom, after the kids go to bed, she's in there prepping the food, getting the things together, running to Walmart at 10 o'clock. It happens because somebody makes it happen. Amen. Martha is the one that's hosting this dinner. She feels the weight of it. Dad, you feel the weight of it when somebody has to make sure that the bills are paid. Mom, you feel the weight of it when your kids are struggling in school. You feel the weight of it when you're running a ministry or you're in charge of something. Martha, I just want you to have in perspective that she felt this. She's the host. And it says in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She's busy. Jesus enters in. They mingle, they do whatever, and then everyone's excited, and Jesus sits down, but not Martha. She's coming about. She's still putting the punch together. This is Martha. She's got the work to do, and she's making sure everybody's okay, because in your mind, that's what you do. I want to make sure that everything's okay. I want to make sure that everything's lined up. I want to make sure that everything's going to go well. This is Jesus. Jesus is important. My kids are important. My spouse is important. My parents are important. I've got to make sure it's right. You can imagine all the other ladies are like, come sit down, Martha. It's like, that must be nice, but I just can't right now. I've got to get this done. So she's running around and she's serving everybody. And let me take your coat. And the door, somebody's at the door. You guys just sit down. I've got this. And she runs to the door. And then the buzzer goes off and the pigs in the blanket are done. And somebody's got to pull them out of the oven. And it's got to happen. Somebody's got to do it. I've got to make it happen. In your mind, you're looking at everybody sitting around the feet of Jesus going, well, it's not going to happen because you're doing it. If I don't do it, nobody will. Have you ever communicated to people without saying anything? You know what I'm talking about? You're trying to prove a point, and it just happens because you set something down really hard. You make noise. You go out to get the groceries. Nobody stands up to get them, so you walk in making lots of noise with the groceries. You slam everything down. Trying to prove a point. Nobody sees me. Nobody cares. This wouldn't happen if it wasn't for me. The word cumbered about literally means to drag it all about, to be distracted with the cares. Here's Jesus sitting in the living room, and Martha is running from filling drinks to opening the oven to answering the door. She's got her apron on, she's full of flour, she's a mess. And it affects you. I'm sure at the beginning of this, it's like, oh, I can't wait. This is going to be so much fun. I can't wait to have Jesus here. It's going to be so great. I get to hear his teaching in person. It's going to be right there at Jesus in the flesh in my house. But then this happens, and the pressure and the pressure and the pressure grows. And she's distracted with what? She's cumbered about with what? Much serving. Can I ask you guys, is serving a bad thing? I mean, she wasn't sitting down watching TV. She wasn't in the other room on her phone watching Netflix. She wasn't in the backyard chilling out. She was working hard to take care of other people. And all she wanted was to be noticed and acknowledged for the work that she was doing. Jesus had taught on the subject of serving. So she knew, okay, all right, I see what's going on. I need to set the records straight. You can imagine, now, just picture this, okay? Jesus is sitting there. I don't know what it looked like, but I know that they sat at the feet of Jesus, so they're gathered around, and Jesus is pouring his heart. I don't know what the message was. I promise you it was a great message. And Jesus is just teaching and doing all this. And Martha, no joke, this is what happens. Martha's standing there, and she's just like, she has so much she wants to say, and she really wants to say it to Mary, but she can't just yell at Mary in front of Jesus. Verse 39 just set the stage, and her sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40, you ready for this? And Martha, cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I don't know what frame of mind that you have to be in to interrupt the Son of God, to interrupt the Creator of the universe, to yell at your sister in front of him because she points him out and says, she needs to get up and do something. Jesus, will you make her help me? I promise you, you would not make a move like that unless you felt totally justified that Jesus was about to have your back.
I guarantee you, she stood back and was like, now let her have it. You know, let her know. We're all about serving and she ought to do this. It's not what happens. Let me tell you, when you're stressed out like this, you say things you normally would not say. She was mad at her sister that was worshiping Jesus. My question is, how do you go from surviving to thriving? And I want to minister to the hearts of moms today, but it's not just moms that need to hear this. It's all of us. What is the lesson that Jesus is teaching us, and what are we learning from this? Number one, we need to be called out because some things just need to change. Jesus doesn't just sit there and say, you're right, and okay, and, you know, that's a good point, and your sister here is. No, Jesus doesn't say anything. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Jesus literally is sitting there, and he just calmly, and who Jesus was as being nothing but grace and mercy and truth, turns to her and says, Martha, I've been watching you. And I'm going to tell you what's going on with you that should not be there right now. Jesus calls her out. You know why Jesus calls you out? Because Jesus cares about us. Jesus wasn't trying to get up in her business to make her feel like a failure. Jesus was trying to help her so she doesn't burn out. Martha, Martha. You know why Jesus said that? Anytime something is said repeated in Scripture like that is God's trying to get their attention of repeating something. He points out her condition. This is her state of mind. And this is, goes just in conjunction with our mental health series that we just finished. Jesus was confronting her anxiety. Now remember casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Remember, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. Remember those verses we studied? Watch what Jesus confronts her because Jesus says, I know what's going on with you. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. The word careful literally means to be anxious, to overthink. Do you remember the idea of the anxious thought is the fact that you let your thoughts run in the direction beyond the realm of what is true? That's exactly what's happening in this passage. Martha's over there going, I'm failing. I bet you Jesus is mad at me, and I don't have her to help me. And I asked her to come over, and she said, I've got your back. She doesn't have my back. She's just ticked. She's absolutely losing it. And Jesus literally calls her out and says, Martha, you are cumbered about with much serving. She's going from here to there, and I've got to get this done, and I've got to get this, making this happen. And I'm telling you what, and this is something that Mary did somewhere along the line. Mary's in the house, and she's sitting there going, I know I said I'd do this, and man, this is important, and man, this coffee, you know, it's great coffee, and everybody needs to be part of this coffee. I need this. Because we all need this. And at some point in time, Mary had to decide, I'm going to have to let some things go in order for me to get what I need most. She was anxious. Her mind was running in 1,000 directions. And sometimes we allow our lives to be so consumed with things that don't matter because we're running in 1,000 directions of what our mind thinks should happen, but it's okay for that person not to get that second cup of coffee so that I can sit at the feet of Jesus. And I don't know what this is for everybody here. I want you to get that mental picture that sometimes we've got to set some things down to get what we need most. But there's emotional, spiritual battle that breaks out in our minds that if I don't do this, everything's going to fall apart. And that's just not true. Jesus confronts her anxiety. Number two, Jesus confronted her attitude. Now you notice Jesus didn't say you're careful about many things. He said you're careful and troubled. The word troubled actually means to be filled with clamor. The word clamor comes from what we study in the book of James about the clamor or bitter talking or bitter gestures. It's not just the idea of talking and let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And we know that the Bible says that. But the Bible also talks about clamor. Clamor is just the idea that you're talking without talking. You're mumbling. You know, you just don't say anything. It comes across in how you set things down or how you look at people. And I guarantee you that Martha was giving Mary that glare every chance she got. And sometimes when your kids will say, "Mommy's upset," or "Mommy's not having a good day today," but Mom never said that. But the kids know that by the way you're throwing things around the house. It's true. Or the actions, the attitude, the grunting. The attitude that you can't hide that comes through your face and your attitude and your actions that everybody knows. Do you know what I think is interesting about this? It's the fact that Jesus calls her out and says, "That's not okay." And I know what moms are thinking. I know what dads are thinking. I know what everybody's thinking. You would understand if you walked in my shoes. You would understand if you felt the pressure. You would understand if you were dealing with what I was dealing with. Can I tell you in this passage, Jesus did understand? Martha didn't have to stop and explain anything to Jesus that Jesus already knew. But I want you to see something, that Martha had lost her joy. Can you imagine this? She's over here with whatever she was cumbered about with much serving, and she had Jesus in the house, and her spirit was not, "I want to be with Jesus." Her spirit was, "I'm just mad at her." Do you know how often we deal with that kind of attitude? You know how often we deal with that? Whether it's serving in a ministry in the church or raising your kids. And I'm telling you this now because we can grow up or watch our kids grow up in a home that we are cumbered about with so much serving and bills and pressure and stresses in life that what they remember most about their childhood was the fact that Mom was always in a bad mood. Or Dad always came home irritable. And it's true. There's no joy of the Lord. There's no sweet spirit. There's no taking time for other people. And it gets to the point where people don't want to be around you. Martha was bitter, and Jesus called her out. And I'm going to tell you now that this has become norm in our culture today. We respond and say, "Well, what did you do?" "I just gave them a piece of my mind. I bit their head off. I told them how I felt." We're almost justified by that. I'm telling you, whether it's at work or the grocery store or in line at the bank or whatever it is, do you think Jesus would stand back and say, "Yeah, they got what they deserved"? And in this situation, Jesus was like, "No, what the problem's not her, it's you." How do we go from surviving to thriving? Number two, we must have our priorities in order. Jesus came to change us. He was there to teach them the word, to change their hearts and minds. Jesus, in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." He called her out. You are. I'm going to tell you the truth. He said, "Your attitude stinks." And he said, "You are stressed out about things you don't need to be stressed out about that you've added to your mind." Because I promise you, these people right here, we'd rather be at the feet of Jesus than have a third cup of coffee. And he says this, help me out with this, okay? This is audience participation here. Verse 42, "But this one thing is what?" Say it again. "This one thing is what?"
Needful.
Needful. Who's saying that? Jesus is saying this. Can you imagine as Martha is like sitting there and she's got all these things and she's thinking of, "I need to do this and I've got this and I need to do this," and all these other things going through her mind, and Jesus literally says, "Okay, this one thing is what you need most. This is needful." You know what the word "needful" means? It literally means that this is a priority. It literally means that this should come first. This trumps everything else. this is a priority in your life, or should be a priority in your life. He says, but this one thing, this main thing, this thing that comes upon before everything else, this one thing that would be like the gas in the tank of your car, because you can't survive without it. You can't survive on empty. He said the word needful. The word needful literally means necessary or requirement. You can live the Christian life and leave certain things out, and the Christian life will not work. Do you hear me? Just saying, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, does not eliminate anxiety in your life or the bad attitude in your life. It doesn't eliminate those things. Asking yourself the question, why are things not working, or why am I always behind? Am I meant to just fail in life? Martha was not a bad person. She just had her priorities out of whack. The reason Jesus points this out is because it's not what he wants. Let me show you verse 42, but this one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. Let me tell you, and I say this to every college student, teenager, mom, dad, grandparent that's here. Every day in life, let me just say, depending on how we start our day and now what we get done, we have a choice. It is a choice. You have a choice to get gas in your car before you run out. You have a choice to spend time with Jesus before you fall apart. Amen. It's a choice. Where is Mary? What is Mary doing? What is the good part that she had chosen? It said that she sat in verse 39. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She sat at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to tell you how much we all struggle with this. You know how easy it is for me to preach a message and say what we need more than anything is to seek the face of God, because God is everything that we need. And then I walk into my office or get up to start my day, and I'm going through there. I was like, man, I forgot all about that text. I've never called that person back. Man alive. It's like I walk in my office and I put my phone down and I start typing, and I'm trying to write out my message, and I have brain fog and I can't get this done. And somebody knocks out, hey, what's going on? You got a minute? Yeah, I got a minute. I'm doing this. And I realize that I get through the day and I've accomplished really nothing. I go to bed frustrated. I go to bed thinking about what I have to get done the next day. I feel guilty because I didn't make that phone call that I told them that I would make, that I didn't have time to write that message. I didn't turn my notes in time. I didn't do all these things. And I promise you, in all of our lives, there are important things to get done. And then I remember the thing that I skipped is what I needed most. Cumbered about with much business, serving, to-do lists, and projects. And we all do it. This is what Jesus was saying. We must make a priority to renew ourselves. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I want you to get Mary's perspective. I want you to get, because I don't know what this is in your life. You guys listen to me. I don't know what this is in your life, but there comes a point where you have to learn to set some things down. Do you hear me? We have to make a decision that I can't keep going like this. And this might be for you that overtime that you keep working. It might be that hobby that you love so much. It might be that activity that you do on the weekends. It might be that second job that you have. And in our mind, we're thinking, I can't survive without it. I've got to do this. But that thing is ruining you. In our minds, we can't think of another way around it. I just know that I have to do this. But Mary was, as much as I told her I'd do this and as much as I want to help my sister, I've got to set this down because I have got to sit to renew myself. You realize that rest and stopping is part of God's plan for our lives? It's part of God's plans. Dads, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never work enough. There will always be one more thing to pay for. Mom, there's always going to be one more load of laundry. There's always going to be one more dish in the sink.
There's always going to be one more thing on the grocery list that you forgot. There's always going to be one more homework assignment that you didn't get done. Always. But we don't know how to stop. We don't know when to set things down. But Jesus was literally saying, this is needful for you. Can I tell you a story about somebody that worked hard that created the world? And in Genesis 2:2, on the seventh day, God ended his work. What did he do with his work? He ended his work, which we had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had made. Jesus and God and the Spirit of God does not get tired. But he sat it down for the sake of being an example to us of resting. Jesus gave us the illustration of rest. He was teaching that to sit at the feet of Jesus. Number two, we must make a priority to spend time with Jesus. I don't know what needs to be sat down in your life, but I can promise you this. Whatever this is can be defined by whatever stops you from being there. Do you guys hear me? Say, how do I know what needs to be sat down? It's whatever that stops you from worshiping Jesus. That has to be sat down. Amen. This could be a sport that you're involved in. It can be a game on your phone. It can be a show that you're obsessed with. It could be a friend that you talk on the phone with all the time. It could be that hobby, whatever it is. And I'm not, you say, those things are bad. No, this wasn't bad. You remember, Mary and Martha were both doing good things. She wasn't doing a bad thing. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about being cumbered about or distracted with what you need most. This one thing is needful. I had this thought. Because in our minds, you sit there and you're thinking about all the things that you have to do. It's like, that must be nice for those to sit there and worship with Jesus and to have that time. But let me tell you about my life right now. Let me tell you what I've got to do. I don't have time to get everything done that I have to do. I don't have time. I don't have the money. I don't even have my checklist keeps growing and growing and all these things. I cannot do this. Can I tell you the trick to this? Can I tell you what this is all about? He's the author of time. He's the giver of strength. He's the one that gives me the wisdom to know how to talk to my kids and how to work my job and how to minister to other people. It's amazing when God said in his scriptures, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just make a priority out of the things of God to sit at his feet. I promise you, you will never regret the time that you spend at the feet of Jesus. If you're tired, he gives rest. If you're empty, he's the one that fills you. John 15:4, he says this. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Can I read that again? Abide in me and I in you. As mom cannot take care of her kids, except she abide on the vine, which is the strength of everything. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's the abiding, the presence, the fellowship that you have. And it says at the end of it, she says, and he sat at his feet and heard his word. We must make a priority to grow in the word of God, to be spiritually fed ourselves, because we cannot give what we do not get. You have to grow spiritually as a mom and dad if you're going to be strong enough to lead your family. You have to. Jesus didn't say that they were just sitting there fellowshipping. He literally that said that he sat at his word. You cannot give what you do not have. Moms, I can't begin to tell you the importance of you making a priority to sit with your devotions, to sit with your Bible, just to have time to put in your AirPods and listen to music and worship your Savior. To make a priority to say to that other mom or that other friend in the church and say, yes,
I'll do that coffee appointment because I need to be refreshed and I need to be renewed and I need the fellowship because I can't do this of myself because iron sharpens iron. And no Christian was ever meant to do this life alone. But so many times we're so busy with whatever we have that we're pushing that away. For moms to say, honey, you take the kids, I'm going to meet me at the well. And I'm going to sit with the ladies. I'm going to go to that prayer meeting. I'm going to go to that life group. I'm going to sit down with that time with those other Christians because I need this. Jesus said this is needful for you. Needful. 1 Corinthians says this. He says, for the preaching of the cross to them that are in the world, it's foolishness. But to us that it is saved, it is the power of God. Can I tell you right now that what we're doing as a church family right now, it's sitting at the feet of Jesus and worshiping and sharing our hearts and spending time in prayer is important, but a lot of times Satan will give us things that will distract us from what we need most. And the more we put the emphasis on this and whatever this is, and we skip Sunday and we skip Sunday and we skip Sunday and we skip a Sunday, we get to the point where I'm so stressed out, I don't know what to do in life anymore. And God says, you know why? Because you need to set some things down and run to the feet of Jesus. You need to be at the feet of Jesus. And I'd rather my kids remember going to worship with mom and dad in church than being at a ball game. You say, are you against ball games? Not at all. I think it's a great part of our childhoods. As long as it doesn't take away the one thing that is needful for you. Don't take away the thing that is important for you. Psalm said this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Jesus literally says, I'm going to take you and lead you, have you sit and have you restored so that you can stand up and go be the mom, the dad, the grandma, the teenager, the college student that you need to be. So I don't know who you are or where you're at in life when it comes to what you're cumbered about or busy with, but all of the question that I have is, do you have things in your life that you need to set down to make time for what you need most? Because that's how you go from just surviving to thriving in life.